We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so often we want to come before You with plans and preparations and say, look at this, now bless it. But Heavenly Father, You're not asking that from us. You're asking us to be obedient to wherever Your Spirit moves us. So by Your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, move us where You need us to be. And plant in us the seeds that need planted this morning through the words that are spoken. Heavenly Father, some of us need a soul that's thirsty to find quenching. A soul troubled to find release. A confused mind to find clarity. But in all these things, Heavenly Father, may we find that it's Your word spoken to us, and not a confusion of this world, but a word straight from Your heart to us. To that end, Heavenly Father, I ask that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. To connect this one, the third in a five-part series, to last week we talked about how the old self's no longer supposed to talk. The dead men aren't supposed to talk anymore. And as I was thinking about that, I said, well, I didn't really clarify what exactly is dead and what's alive now. Parts of us are alive. Parts of us are dead. So, what's alive? What's dead? And then I thought even further and I said, well, sometimes the dead part tries to speak anyway. Or we're just not sure which is right. For example, we might feel led to call an old friend, but at the same time we might feel led to pray. Which is the right voice? How do we know? How do we decipher which is the new one and which is the old one? Which one's supposed to die off and which one is supposed to be alive? We get confused because we're not sure what's old and what's new. Strange how events of the week happen to things in our lives and places in our lives and people in our lives, and they all seem to fall into place when God's trying to teach us something. Did you know that? When God's trying to teach you something, the messenger will appear. Or as an old sage once said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, my teacher appeared on Tuesday for this message. I already knew what I was going to say till then. It's just added a lot more depth for it. On Tuesday, I was in Hoptown seeing some folks in the hospital, and I was coming back. Stopped by the store, and I thought, well, my van's been having some problems, but nothing bad. I'll just cruise through this parking lot of this dealer up here, and I forgot to turn in. I was in the wrong way. I said, well, I'll just turn around up here in this next turn, and I'll look in a way to turn around there. Well, then I turned in. Was another dealer. Pulled in. And I saw some old vans. Old as in older than brand new. Newer than the one I was driving. And I got out. And I looked at the price on the first one and I smiled and walked to the next one. Smiled again and said, I should have gone to the other lot. Looked at the next one and it was even worse. And I looked at the last one and I said, this is a nice looking vehicle. I didn't look at the price for some reason. After I looked at it a while, I said, well, this one's probably too expensive too. Looked at the sticker and I said, well, that's cheap. And as I was sitting in the vehicle, looking around, the passenger door popped open and it goes, hello, man, may I help you? It scared me to death. I almost said, you can help me by leaving. Learning how to come around and knock. Something like that. But there I was, a little flabbergasted by this man who turned out to be Fernando from Puerto Rico. And Fernando says, you like this van, don't you? The one next to it's better. I said, why is it better? I said, it costs more, but why does it cost more? He said, it's a better van than this one. And I said, well, this one I can afford. He says, you can drive this one. You can even buy this one. But that's a better van over there. I would not lie to you. That's what I want to drive, the cheaper one. So I drove it a little bit. And he said, you seem to like this van, but I still think the other van is better. But you like this one. I'll tell you what, let me let you take it home overnight and you think about it. And if you like it, we'll have a deal, yes? I said, hey, whatever. Well, through the process of that, I ended up with a 5-year newer van. I now have a vehicle made in this century. That is not the story I wanted to tell you in and of itself. It's when I picked up my sons on Friday and what they did in it that made the story. You see, I had the same model, the same make, except for this one was a few inches longer. And they began to look around in it. And they said, this van's different than our old van. I said, you like it better, don't you? They said, well, it's got a lot of neat stuff, Dad. It has a button on the tailgate. It opens and closes the back door. You don't even have to touch it. Does it for the side door. It's got all sorts of neat contraptions in it. They really liked it. We're going down the road and they said, I really like this van, Dad, but I'm going to miss the old one. And the only thing I could think was that maybe the seats were more comfortable or something because they were older seats, like old Jews. And I said, why? You know what he said? He said, Dad, when we were stranded in Florida, we got that van. We had a lot of fun in that old van. And I'm going to miss it because every time I was in there, I remembered all the fun we had. We got to see the ocean in that van, Dad. We went to Walt Disney World in that van and Universal Studios. We went to the golf, Dad. We went to all over the place in that van. That van was fun. This van, we just got in it and we know nothing about it. And normally when they say something like that and it sounds more smart than an 11-year-old should sound, I think about it. And what it said to me was that it's the experience of something that makes it matter to you. Right? Once you begin to experience it, it begins to have depth and reality. Well, we're talking about a new life in Christ Jesus. We're talking about everything brand new. We may look the same in a lot of ways, but there's something new. So what's different? Galatians 5:1 says, we now have freedom in the Holy Spirit, and do not let ourselves be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hebrews 12:1 says that we are now able to lay aside every weight and the sin that beset us so easily, and to press on toward the finish line. All sounds nice and good, but what's it mean? Scripture is great for encouragement, but what are we encouraging? What are we trying to build up? What is new? What voice do we listen to? Well, I know one of the freedoms we have is now we have all of God's resources at our disposal. Every last one. For some of us, that means I got a lot. For some of us, it means, well, I always had it before, you know. God was always there. But what are God's resources? There's a story I heard one time about this room with a whole bunch of shoeboxes in it up in heaven. Obviously, you don't wear shoes, but, you know, bear with me for the story. And each one of them had every single person who ever lived's name on it. And an angel showed this fellow to the box of his, and he said, what's in the box? He said, it's your unclaimed blessings. And he looked at every one of them and he said, well, I figured if I claimed that one, someone would go without. And he said, no. God has more than enough for everybody. So one of the things we have to get out of the mentality is there's not enough to go around of God's blessing. God can bless us. His resources are infinite, unlimited, and never cease. Some of us still have the idea that, well, if I have some, somebody else won't get it. I still clean my plate because otherwise those kids in China are going to starve, or India. I got fat thinking that way. I was not happy about that. I clean my plate because otherwise I'm going to have to take that scrap of food and send it over there or something. I don't know why I clean it now. It's just something my parents told me. There's starving kids all over the world. If you don't eat it, well, then they won't eat either. And you both won't eat. I never figured out how that made any sense. She'd throw it in the garbage if I didn't eat it. It all went to my waste. I'm telling you that because God is trying to change us to give us freedoms that there's enough. It isn't that people are starving because they don't have food. It's because the hierarchies won't let them farm the good ground. It's a lot of political stuff there. It's not because I can't send my plate of food over there or that I haven't. It's because there's certain things that happen in this world that we wrestle against, and it's not against physical things. It's against wickedness. And we can help people all we want, but until we get wicked people out of authority positions, people are going to starve. And I'll tell you what really amazes me is that God has enough for everybody, but there's some people who try to block God's blessing. Who say, if they have it, then they'll take some of mine. It'll cause greed. Well, if everybody had too much, who would be greedy? I wouldn't be. And I'm not too greedy right now. Right now, all I can think is that God has enough for all of us. I want to share with you the difference in the voices of the old self and the new life in Christ. Now, if you identify with the older voices more than the newer, folks, don't leave this service until you get yourself right with God. Reconcile. Okay? Listen to this. Now, these are not like what you think. They are not dictionary antonyms. They are spiritual antonyms. In the new life in Christ, we live as forgiven people. The old mentality was, I'm sin-based. If I sin, I got to ask for forgiveness or I'm not forgiven. That's the old life. The new life is, you are forgiven in Christ Jesus. He's not having to die again to forgive you. You stand as a forgiven child of God. But being forgiven doesn't mean you're the greatest person on earth. It means you're even with the rest of us. In the new way of life, you're now sanctified, set apart for God's service. In the old life, you're shameful and not worthy of it in your mind. You believed you didn't belong to God's service because you were not good enough. In the new life, God says, you belong to me. I have something for you to do. What is it? What you doing for the Lord, you might say. In the new life, we live as holy people. Now that doesn't mean in the old life we were unholy. It means we lived as judged. Now you know what I mean by that, don't you? That you do something wrong and you feel everybody's looking at you and you're doing something wrong and you feel, oh, I got it covered up. That's the old self. In the new life, you're holy and your mistakes are ways for God to show you where you need to grow. You're no longer judged for them. They're stepping stones to new life. In the new life in Christ, we have joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And the opposite of that is not misery and sadness. It is comfort and happiness. The opposite of joy and peace in the Holy Spirit is trying to make yourself comfortable and trying to be happy. If I had, you ever heard that someone say that? If I ever had a dollar for every time I heard this, well, if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, if I was just with this person, I'd be happy. Or, this person makes me happy. Let me tell you something. This world isn't about happiness unless someone's trying to sell you something. What the Scripture says is you have joy and peace. Happiness from external events will leave you miserable. Trying to get comfortable in a world that's uncomfortable is a lifelong, unending, unstoppable, self-defeating behavior. Did you know that? You'll never be so comfortable that you can't get more comfortable. I don't even have to reach up now to pull down my back gate. That's comfortable. I didn't even know that kind of comfort existed until Tuesday. You should have seen me with that remote, clicking it. I went inside the shop to the bathroom and I'm clicking the remote. And someone outside, I'm looking around and they're going, and they don't know what's going on. I'm just sitting in the bathroom making that thing go up and down. It's funny. But, you know, comfort. Comfort can be fun. But it doesn't serve any purpose. I'd rather have joy and peace internally. In the new life, we live as loving people who are loved. And in the old life, we were self-seeking in our behavior, in our thoughts. Simple enough. Now this is one that I hope you understand what I say by this, because to explain it in depth would take a whole new sermon. But in the new life, we live as generous people. In the old life, not stingy, angry. Angry. Why? Because them people need something, I got to give it to them. Takes from mine to give to you to help you. That makes me mad. As a Christian in new life in Christ, we say there's a need and I'm generous. I'm not angry that people ask me for help. I'm blessed that I can help. Right? That's a different mentality, isn't it? It's a different voice. Doesn't always make sense. But in the new life, we're also free. In the old life, we're confused. We're not sure who we are, where to go, what we're all about, or what our purpose is. But when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you're free. You know that nothing can come against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And no flood shall ever overwhelm you. And no fire shall ever touch you. Otherwise, you're confused because you don't understand why it's happening to you, when it's going to happen again, and who's trying to hurt you next. Confusion like that, it's not a part of the life in Christ. Another thing we've become in Christ is compassionate. The opposite of that is disinterested, detached. Paul says, this is new in Christ, we are ambassadors who are reconciled to God. In the old life, we're internally focused and we're uncertain and we have to assure ourselves rather than find that it comes from the Holy Spirit. In the new life, we're connected to one another. In the old life, we are utterly unpredictable. Because we're all about what's right for me right now. And in the new life, we're content within. And you know what the opposite of that is?
Watch a wasp right there in the corner.
I see. Content within is new. The old life is homeless. Homeless. Because you have no place where you feel safe. No place where you feel assured. Or that you matter. Or that you're really cared for. Because you don't belong to anybody. And you don't have a God that can help you in all situations. That's homeless. And you got no place to go when you die. That's even more homeless. And so you wander around, never sure where you belong. That's the old way. Those old voices that say you're living in those old ways, they're lying to you. They're gone. You don't have to do that. Your freedom's in Christ Jesus. Say you're reconciled. Now let me tell you something. Paul says to be reconciled to God. And this is how I want to bring this message to a close. Is, sir, you understand this. At the end of the day, your columns have to match. I'm real happy when I'm an even number off, like a dollar, a dime, or a 10. I can figure a dollar mistake out pretty quick. But when it's like 489 in my checkbook, I'm going, 489? What's 489? I didn't spend four, and you got to work on it for a long time to reconcile. And what that means is so both sides are the same. What the bank tells you you got and what you say you got are equal, then it's reconciled. Reconciling your bank statement. Paul says you got to be reconciled to God. Does that mean you get even with God? No, it doesn't mean be even with God. It doesn't mean you get even. It means that what He says about you is what you say about you. He says you are the righteousness of Himself in Christ Jesus. You are a forgiven individual who is brand new in the way you relate, act, think, and feel. He says it, and your bottom line has to match His when you belong to Him. Everything else is lying to you, and it needs to go. And when you live that way, you become an ambassador of the truth that's in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You love us enough to be patient with us and to reconcile us through Christ. Now as we gather here, Heavenly Father, remind us that this is possible even now. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Before we sing our closing song, which is on page 56. I want to share with you one sentence from Oswald Chambers. I say one sentence, two sentences. He says this: our warfare is not against sin. We can never fight against sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ deals with sin in the redemptive act on Calvary. Our conflict is along the lines of turning our natural life into a spiritual life by doing, and this is only done, by a series of moral choices based on your new life in Christ. That's what he said Friday in our devotions in that book. I promise you, there is no other way to have peace. Shall we stand as we sing?